ready for the word, somebody shout, bring it on. Stand for the reading of God's word. I feel like preaching. I'm warning you, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I'm a Holy Ghost filled preacher. You say, Pastor, what would you be if you weren't baptized in the Holy Spirit? I'd be ashamed of myself. Come on, somebody. And I believe today many people are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit here and online. So somebody give God praise that the outpouring is here. And I believe the Holy Spirit affects every part of your life. And I believe that God wants to fill people today. And I just have this sense of expectation. And God's going to do some mighty things today. If you're ready, somebody shout, I'm ready. Somebody shout right now. Okay, Luke 24:49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. What is upon? It's two words, up and on. How many of you would like to get the Holy Ghost up on you today? Come on. But tarry, somebody say tarry, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Uh-huh. Anybody believe in power? From on high. Now Acts 2:1-4. Now this is the birthday of the church. Tell everybody in your neighborhood, happy birthday. The church wasn't birthed when Christ died on the cross. The church was birthed on Pentecost. So this is our birthday and we're going to celebrate it, Calvary. Come on. You say, what are you drinking? New wine. Hallelujah. So now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, for all of you that want to believe that Pentecost is not for today, I see where it fully came. I see nowhere where it fully went. I think when the Holy Spirit came, he came to stay. Can I get a witness here? They were all with one accord, so I cast out every spirit of discord. I cast it out today that would hinder anything. And they were in one place. Somebody say place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided or various tongues as of fire, and one sat down upon each of them. Who'd like the fire of God to sit on you today? And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now somebody say place. The Bible said they were in one place, and the Greek word for place is epi. It's where we get our English word epicenter. Epicenter is defined as the point in the earth where an earthquake begins. It's the place most likely for a shifting and a shaking. I don't know about you, but I believe that Calvary is an epicenter. Well, I got about 40% of you. I said, I believe that our church is an epicenter. It's a place most likely for a shaking and a shifting. Somebody give God praise that you're in an epicenter this morning. Now, one of the things that young people say is this. They say, oh, that shook me. I'm shook. I've been hearing so many young people say, oh, I'm shook. How you feeling? I'm shook. And I'm going to preach today, shook. I can't be shaken by the enemy. I can't be shaken by the news. I can't be shaken by the works of the devil. Because I've already been shook. I dare you to tell everybody on your knee, on your row, say, I've been shook. Yeah, yeah. God has shook my life. He shook away the sin. He shook away the bondage. He shook away the agendas of hell. Anybody want to get shook today? If you want to get shook, open up your mouth and give God a praise. All right, slip up your hands. Holy Ghost, you are welcome to shake this house. Don't just shake the house, shake everybody in it. I pray that every agenda of hell will be shook loose. I pray that every addiction will be shook loose. I pray that depression will be shook loose. Come on, y'all. I pray that the give up spirit will be shook loose. I pray that the I'm feeling sorry for myself mentality will be shook loose. I pray, God, that anything that limits us will be shook loose, and you come and let the fire fall. If you're ready for the fire, open up your mouth and give God a praise. All right, you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to get shook today. In Acts 4, they prayed and the whole house shook, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Who would like to be in a place where the whole house is shaken and people get filled with the Holy Spirit? And then in Acts 16, there was so much prayer and worship with Paul and Silas that the prison shook and everybody in bondage got delivered. Anybody want to see a shaking so much that people get set free? Come on. So I'm just going to unpack this thing. If you're ready, somebody shout, I'm ready. Of everything I love to teach about, I love to teach on the tabernacle. That's probably one of the highlights of my life. I love to teach on the atonement. But nothing is more precious to me than teaching and talking about the Holy Spirit. I feel like this is my life assignment, is to keep us directed toward the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. About 20 years ago, there was a radical shift among Spirit-filled believers, and they started building churches that didn't have an emphasis on the baptism. In other words, they didn't want any manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And I had people pushing me toward that direction. But I told Dawn, I said, babe, if I build a church like that, I won't even want to go to it. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, you need to understand that your main building is like the showroom of a car lot. That when they come into the showroom, they just see what's good. He said, all that Holy Spirit stuff and laying hands on people, that's to be back in the bay. That's in the mechanical area. That's where you go work on people. I said, I don't know what kind of people you got coming to your church, but I got people rolling in on three wheels and a donut. Come on, somebody. I got people pushing themselves in. And I don't have time to say, come on a Tuesday night and maybe you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. I want an atmosphere where God can walk in and shake the whole house. Come on, if you're ready for the whole house to shake, open up your mouth and give God a praise. We're buying into this lie. I'm going to get a teaching in a moment, but we're buying into this lie that, you know, this generation doesn't want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. It's just too much for them. Let me tell you, a couple years ago, I preached to 15,000 young people with 35,000 online. It's a thing called Winterfest. I preached on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. 5,000 young people received their prayer language and spoke in tongues. I don't believe it's just for you. I believe it's for your children. I believe it's for our children's church. Come on, somebody. Now, here we go. If you're ready, somebody say, bring it on. Luke 24:49, Jesus said this. This is from the very lips of our Savior. He said, tarry, somebody say tarry, in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power. Now, tarry in the text, it means to sit down. It means to wait. It means don't go anywhere. Precious, there was no hesitation in the voice of Christ. His command was clear. It was concise. This was not a suggestion. This was a command. There was urgency in this command. And we must never allow what is urgent to Jesus not to be urgent to us. This was important to Jesus. And we must never allow what's important to Jesus to become unimportant to us. And he said, tarry. He said, wait. He was letting them know what I'm about to send is worth waiting for. Give me some more in this monitor. Have you ever waited for something and then it wasn't worth the wait? Where are the real people at? When my kids were small and they opened the Winnie the Pooh ride, we got in the line and we stood in it for 40 days and 40 nights. Come on, somebody. I kid you not. We probably stood in that line for 2.5 hours. We got on Winnie the Pooh, and it was 90 seconds. And when the ride was over, I said, this was not worth the wait. Have you ever went to a restaurant? Where's the real people? And you're waiting for your food. And when they finally bring it, it ain't worth the wait. I'm gonna tell you, I don't like to wait. I ain't wired to wait. Some of y'all look, I don't, if I go to a restaurant and I'm parking at the same time somebody else is parking, I pull up to the door and I say, don't get out. We gotta beat them people in, come on. I will literally grab her by the hand and race people to the door. Because I don't like to wait. In fact, if I go in and there is a 30-minute wait, I will drive to a restaurant 45 minutes away because I don't like to wait. How many do I have? At least 3 people who are in the same boat as me. You don't like to wait. But the Lord said, if you will wait on this, this is worth waiting for. Now, watch this. It's amazing to me that many in the church, they've convinced themselves, and even preachers, they've convinced themselves that they don't need this power. Or why should we purposely pursue it? But I want you to understand, the disciples themselves walked with the manifested Christ for 3.5 years. They had on-the-job training from the Master himself, but they were not allowed to minister without the enduing power of the Holy Ghost. They watched him heal the sick. They watched him raise the dead. They saw him call Lazarus out of the grave. They saw him walk on water. But Jesus said, in spite of the fact that you've been with me, you can't do what I've called you to do without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, if Peter needed it, if John needed it, if James needed it, come on, Keisha on your row has got to have it. Come on. Bill on your row has got to have it. How many of you want the same power that the disciples had? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to understand something. The baptism of the Holy Spirit does not unlock heaven for you. You don't have, there are some denominations that teach you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven. No, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. Where are the real people at? You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit when some of your kids are losing their mind. Can I get a witness? Have you ever just... We're the real people. Have you ever had just something rise up inside of you? You say, oh, Jesus. Because the Holy Spirit will affect your life. And what you've got to understand is this. This experience of Pentecost was not about conversion. It was about provision. That they already were saved, but they needed to be empowered. They were already washed in the blood, but they needed power. Is there anybody at church today who needs some power? They needed power. Make no mistake about it. God is calling the church to do work. We're called to establish the kingdom. And kingdom work requires kingdom power. We can't fool in this crooked and perverse world. When people are coming into our churches, literally brainwashed by the enemy, we cannot have some weak representation of the Bible and some weak representation of the power of God. They need to walk in our churches and feel the supernatural power of the Holy Ghost. Now, watch this. When God asks you to do his work, it will require his help. God always will ask you to do something that is a little bit beyond you. And the only way you can actually get that thing accomplished is with his help. And you say, Apostle, after all these years, what do you think one of the main secrets to Calvary's success? Look at this Pentecost Sunday crowd. Somebody give God praise. It's really incredible in here today. But there are five campuses that are now meeting on Sundays. Calvary campus is just in Florida. We will have over 5,000 people that will worship the Lord. I got three people excited about it. See, I remember when we started in a gym that was falling apart. I remember when we couldn't even buy toilet paper. Y'all don't make me preach, but let me tell you now, look what the Lord has done. And you say, Apostle, what has been the secret? I'm telling you, we have built a church that welcomes the move of God. That is the secret. Kingdom work requires kingdom power. Now, watch. Jesus said, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another comforter. Somebody say, another comforter. One translation said, another helper, like this one, that he may abide with you forever. Another helper or another comforter, it's allos in the Greek, meaning the same as, and helper, parakletos, meaning comforter, or help, or pleader, or defender, or defense. It's a legal term, like a lawyer. There are several meanings to this word, but he said, I'm gonna send you another helper, allos parakletos. He said, I'm gonna send you someone. Allos means the same exact as me. He said, I'm gonna send you someone just like me, and I'm gonna put him inside of you. He said, I've done all that I can do in this temporal body. When Jesus came to the earth, he gave up his omnipresence. He consolidated himself to one body. He said, but I'm about to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Okay, Holy Ghost, somebody say Holy Ghost. When I say Holy Ghost, I'm not talking about like a haunted mansion. Ghost is actually from the Aramaic. It is the word geist, and it means spirit. So understand, he said, I'm gonna fill you with the Holy Spirit. Jesus had a body, so he was not omnipresent. But the Holy Spirit doesn't have a body. He is a spirit. Therefore, he is freed from temporal limitations. That means he can be everywhere all at once. He said, I'm gonna put the same power and anointing that was in me, I'm gonna put it in you, and you're going to receive it. I dare somebody right now who wants an allos parakletos just like Jesus in your life, give God a praise for it. He said, I'm gonna send you the allos parakletos. Now, like I said, it's a legal term, like a lawyer, but in study, I found out that the paraclete was also an ancient warrior's term. That when Greek soldiers went into battle, their paraclete was assigned to them. Come here, Pastor Jamie. They would literally, how many of y'all love Pastor Jamie, our outreach pastor? He's the best. They would literally have a paraclete or a parakletos assigned to them. And they would go into battle back to back. In other words, your parakletos had your back. When you were fighting, there were attacks that would come. I need you to fight. I need you to swing your sword. There you go. Come on, I want you to get mad at the devil. Stab somebody. That's it. You bet. There's somebody comes there trying to get me. What are you gonna do? Yeah. They're coming over here. What are you gonna do? Here they come up there. They're jumping out of a tree. Get them right now. Get them. I'm trying to tell you that when you go into battle, the Holy Ghost goes with you. When you're fighting for your family, he's fighting for your family. When you're resisting the devil, he's resisting the devil. When you're coming against the enemy, he's coming against the enemy. Just tell your neighbor, say, the Lord, the Holy Ghost has your back. Now give God praise for every time the Holy Spirit prayed through you and has your back. And what you've got to understand is you're in a fight. Anybody feel like you've been in warfare? I feel this because I've been in warfare. Wave at me if you feel like you've been in warfare. And if you're going to be in warfare, you need to make sure that you take your battle partner with you. Why? Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost brought power. Anybody still believe there's power in the Holy Spirit? Okay, I know everybody's not filled, but I want anybody that prays in the Spirit and you believe there's power released when you pray in the Spirit, open up your mouth and shout one time. Come on. Come on, shout like you're grateful. Shout like he fights for you. Shout like you got power. Somebody say power. Now, the Bible said that in Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but you shall receive, shout it out, power after you go through growth track. After you go to a crusade with your favorite preacher, y'all. You shall receive power if you watch enough YouTube videos. No, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Hallelujah. I dare somebody, if you've ever had the Holy Spirit come upon you and you got power, give God a praise right now. Now, when the Holy Spirit came, they started with 120 in the upper room. And now billions call Jesus Lord. Heaven is populated with people who are born again and saved through the ages. And it's because the church had power. Now, the Greek word for power is dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. Push your neighbor and say boom. Dynamite is powerful. And the Lord said, tarry in Jerusalem until I fill you with spiritual dynamite. Now, I know we got Google and all that good stuff nowadays, but when I was going to school, shortly after the crust of the earth cooled, come on somebody. When I was in school, we had to go to the library. And what's that thing? You pull it out and what's it called? No. The ones you pulled it out. Not Rolodex. There's a name for that thing. It's a card catalog, but there's actually a name for it. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. There's a name for it. What's it called? It ain't called an index. It's called something else. If y'all can walk in the Spirit, you would know. If you would access your Allos Paracletos, you could tell me something. But y'all know what I'm talking about. Or Dewey Decimal System. You win the prize. If you were going to get a book, you had to go Dewey. So that's what we used. And then we used something called the Encyclopedia Britannica. And back in the day, there was an encyclopedia that talked about dynamite. And on the heading of dynamite, it said this: dynamite, the invention that changed the world. It said dynamite could make a way where there was no way. Dynamite could move mountains. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Dynamite could make roads where there were no roads. And the Lord said, if you will tarry, once you're washed in the blood, I'll fill you with dynamite. And when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you'll blast apart mountains. You'll make roads where there are no roads. You'll make ways where there are. I dare somebody right now who believes they got that kind of power, give God praise for it. But the man that invented dynamite was a man named Alfred Nobel. The guy who invented dynamite, we now give every year the Nobel Peace Prize. That's something, ain't it? And it's named after Alfred Nobel. So when Alfred Nobel was inventing dynamite, he worked with something called nitroglycerin. Now, nitroglycerin was very powerful, but unstable. And he was constantly being run out of town because he was too noisy, y'all. He upset people because he was too noisy. Just tell somebody in your neighborhood, you on the noisy road. Come on. Yeah. We get noisy on this road. We get a little loud on this road. So they would run him out of town. And the problem was, he had this nitroglycerin, but he couldn't find anything that could contain it. He put it in metal, and metal couldn't contain it. He put it in wood, and wood couldn't do the job, y'all. He put it in cotton and cloth couldn't do the job. It wasn't until he poured that nitroglycerin in earth. He put it in clay. And when he put it in clay, the clay could contain it. And then he could put the paper around it, and it became explosive. So the nitroglycerin was put in the clay. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I've come to tell you that the power is not in the building. The power is not in the denomination. The power is in you. Somebody give God praise that you are filled with spiritual nitroglycerin. Now, watch this. You've been empowered to change the world, as was the early church. We've got to understand this. But we also need to know that we've got to be humble. That being filled with the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than anybody else. Being baptized in the Holy Spirit doesn't make me better than anybody else. It makes me better than me. I'm so much more when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. It helps me in my walk. It helps me with my prayer, or he helps me with my prayer. I believe the Holy Spirit affects even my ability to walk in holiness. How many of y'all understand that a Holy Ghost revival is not a Holy Ghost revival without holiness? I heard one lady said, you know, I don't need men. I don't need all boyfriends. I don't need a man. All I need is Jesus. Just give me Jesus. That's all I need. And one night, her house caught on fire. Sure enough, there went Jesus running out the back door. Can I get a witness in this house? What I'm trying to tell you is this: when you really have a relationship with the Lord, it affects the way you live. It doesn't matter if you talk in tongues, if you cuss in English. So the Bible said, then there appeared to them, Acts 2, verse 3, divided tongues as of fire, and one sat down on each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. So here's the question. Why tongues? Well, Apostle, you know, I love your church, but when they start that tie my bow tie, untie my bow tie stuff, come on. She came on a Honda, she left on a Yamaha. Can I get a witness? When they start that tongue stuff, I remember when I was young, we were meeting in my dad's office and we were having prayer. And there were some workers that were there. And I came out and they said, "We didn't even know all y'all. Were y'all speaking Spanish in there?" I said, "No, we were just praying in the Holy Spirit." I want you to understand that we need to have a church that is marked by that, but why tongues? You say, "Apostle, that tongue stuff, it's just kind of weird. Why does it have to be tongues? Couldn't it have been like, after the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will levitate 2 inches off the ground? After the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you'll do 50 jumping jacks. Come on. That tongue stuff makes me uncomfortable." It's a little bit strange, Pastor. It's a little bit weird. I told you about the lady. People say, "Well, that lady got the Holy Spirit and she got weird." Don't blame the Holy Spirit for that. That lady was weird before she ever got the Holy Spirit. Tongues are not weird. They are a manifestation. And you say, "Well, Apostle, why did the Lord choose tongues?" I've got insight in this. James 3 says this, "And the tongue is a fire. It's a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles, so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and reptile and creature of the sea is tamed, and it has been tamed by mankind." But then the text says, "No man can tame the tongue." Now the word "tame" there means to restrain, to curb. He said, you can tame every other animal, but you can't tame your tongue. I don't care how saved you are. There's always a mess trying to get in your mouth. There's always a fear to be spoken, a doubt to be spoken. Somebody on your row has a cuss in their mouth. Look at them and just. I don't care how saved you are. There are moments when fear comes out of your mouth, or doubt comes out of your mouth, or gossip comes out of your mouth. But the Lord said, you can't tame your tongue. You might can keep it in check for a minute, but the Holy Ghost can tame your tongue. When you're praying in the Spirit, no doubt's coming out. No fear's coming out. When you're praying in the Spirit, you're praying the mind and the will of God. Somebody give God praise that the Holy Spirit can tame your tongue. Now, being operating in the fullness of the Spirit, here's the initial physical evidence. Tongues are the initial physical evidence of the baptism of the Spirit, but understand this, they are not the only evidence. In other words, it's like I said, it doesn't matter if you speak in tongues, if you cuss in English. Your life is going to be transformed when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to see a process here. The Bible said, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." Now, I want you to see the process. Somebody say process. See, no one escapes the process. There were three things that I see here: right time, right attitude, and right place. First, it's got to be the right time. You can do a right thing at a wrong time and not see what God intends for you to see. With God, timing is everything. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, somebody say right time. Timing was everything on the day of Pentecost. The power would not manifest until the right time. The promise of Pentecost had been made centuries before, but listen to what the Bible said. So they were amazed and perplexed, saying, "Whatever could this mean?" Others mocking said, "They are full of new wine." And they said, "New wine? It's just 9 o'clock in the morning. We ain't full of new wine." They said, "This is what Joel said, that in the last days I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Somebody give God praise that if it was time then, it's time now. Right time. it's time for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost. So number one, there was the right time. Number two, there was the right attitude. Here's what I need you to understand. Attitude determines altitude. The Bible said they were all in one accord, not a Honda Accord. That means accord is the word from, it's from our word harmony. It means they were together in purpose. And I'm telling you, what I'm seeing in the earth is the enemy is determined to divide churches, especially churches that are full of the Holy Spirit, especially churches where people are saved. His agenda is to divide the church. And I'm telling you, as much as I know anything, I know that God has his eye on this church, but I also know that the devil has his eye on this church. And the enemy would love to sow discord in this house. He would love to sow it in the staff. He would love to sow it in our leadership, and he would love to sow it in this house, because he knows that God doesn't move where there's discord. But where there's unity, the Lord commands his blessing. So what does that mean? That means I refuse to be a sounding board for negativity. If you want to talk about my apostle, don't talk about him with me. Y'all ain't saying nothing. If you want to talk about the leadership, don't you talk about him with me. If you want to talk about Calvary and run it down, don't you run it down with me. Because we are gathering in these last days in one accord, because we want the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God praise if you're tracking with me. It was the right time. It was the right attitude. Sometimes we need to be convicted in our hearts. We need to make sure that we don't allow any discord to hold back what God wants to do. I'm just going to be honest with you. Now, I don't know that there's one thing going on in any of our churches. We will operate under the blessing of the Lord. But let me tell you, I ain't put up with discord for 40 years. Y'all ain't saying nothing. And I ain't about to start now. So if I hear that somebody's jawing, I will come to your house. I will knock on your door. It's quiet in here. Somebody's honey's tight. I take the unity of this house very seriously. Let me tell you, the devil would like to come in and sift this house. He would like to cause our churches not to succeed, but there is a unity. And we are standing arm in arm, and we declare no weapon that is formed against us shall be able to prosper. This is a house of revival. This is a house of awakening. So there was right time, right attitude. But then there was the right place. It was the epicenter. What we've got to understand, precious, is that God chooses the place based on the hunger of the people. That's why there's not awakening in every place. That's why every youth ministry is not awakened to the move of God. That's why every young adult ministry is not awakened to the move of God. That's why every church is not awakened to the move of God. The hunger, of the people is what brings the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I dare somebody right now, if you're hungry, make a little noise right now. Come on. Okay. Here's what I just saw. I saw a few people go. We got the devil confusing our young people. They can't even determine whether they're a boy or a girl. We've got the American Medical Association. They're saying now that you can't determine the gender identification of a child when he's born. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. I'm gonna go ahead and tell the truth and shame the devil. We've got so many agendas of hell that are being perpetrated right now. Can I mess you up? Male and female, he made them. would have ever thought that I would have to be concerned when I flew into LA and I'll be there in June preaching? Who would have ever thought that I would have to be concerned when my family was with me? Because now in LA, the bathrooms are gender neutral, and women are going to the bathroom with men and men with women. And in the women's bathrooms, y'all ain't saying nothing, they've got urinals. Help me, Holy Spirit. And men are walking in there and pulling up their dresses and going to the bathroom. I'm trying to tell you that the world has gone crazy and the church needs the power of God. Come on, somebody. Can I tell you this? Can I just tell you this? You know how we, for thousands of years, we've been able to determine what a baby is when it's born. If it has a penis, y'all, it's a boy. Y'all, put it online, I don't care. If she has a vagina, she's a girl. The devil has gotten so good at telling lies that a weak church is now buying into those kind of lies. I dare somebody right now, open up your mouth if you're ready for power. Come on, if you're ready for power. We don't get to choose things like that. I don't mean to stay here, but all fornication is wrong. If you're shacking up, this is my fiance. He been your fiance for 14 years. If your kids have like six uncles that stay the night, y'all ain't saying nothing to me. Because you can't bind, y'all. You can't bind the devil on Sunday and sleep with him on Friday. Y'all, I'm going too far. We got people who are trading a holy call for a booty call. Can I get a witness? Where is the church that will rise up full of the Holy Ghost and live what we say we've got? When I was growing up, we had the church mothers. When I was growing up, we had people in the church, and when we lost our way, they would talk to us. I said, they would tell us about it. We had a lady in our church named Mother Russell. I love Mother Russell. She was an African-American lady. She could cook greens and she could pray. And I had made up my mind that I just wanted to have, I wanted to make money. Mother Russell was full of the Holy Ghost. Every time I came to church, it was like they would have had a women's prayer meeting. She knew I was there. And she would call me in. I said, Mother Russell. And she meant that I was going to preach the gospel. She would declare it over me. She'd say, you're going to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and you're going to preach this gospel around the world. But I wanted to make money. I was going to be an entrepreneur. And I was so far away from God. And I would come up to the church to see my dad. I was about 19 years old. And it's like Mother Russell had some kind of something. She knew when I walked on the property. And there she came out and said, come in here, we want to pray for you. And they prayed for me about 10 times a year. I said, okay, Mother Russell. And I walked in there, and there was some prophetess woman. And she was praying for everybody. And she started to pray for me. She came over and laid hands on me. And she said, I see money all around you. I said, pray, woman. She said, I see businesses and money and success. I said, prophesy, speak, yes, says the Lord. And Mother Russell's over there going, she got her little chubby hand on my stomach. And this woman said, you're gonna be an entrepreneur. You're going to make money. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to be successful and own businesses all over the world. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to have houses and cars and lands. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to have more money than you can spend. And Mother Russell said, Mother Russell, will you please let the woman prophesy? Come on. But let me tell you something. That woman did not have what Mother Russell had. Today, I'm preaching the gospel around the world. I'm trying to tell you that power is real. This morning, you've come into the most likely place for a shaking. Tell somebody I'm shook. Yeah. When I see what's going on in the world, when I see the ugliness. And listen, there's going to be people who disagree with me. I'm sure in a crowd this big, there's been some who made their way out as I touch things that are so sensitive right now. But I do it with the best heart of love that I know how to do it with. But I'm not going to be quiet. And I'm not going to do that. But here's what I know. We got to speak righteousness, don't we? But if you speak righteousness and you're full of hate, you can be righteous and not be right. Because your heart is not full of rightness. You don't care about the people that you're talking to. So I want you to understand that you're in the right place, that the Holy Spirit can fill you. Now, the Bible says it like this. The Holy Spirit helps our weaknesses. In other words, when the Holy Spirit prays through you, he prays the mind and the will of God. He prays every agenda of heaven over your children. See, we are temporal and finite, so we see what we see, so we pray what we know. We pray in the sense that we pray exactly what we know, but the Holy Spirit gets inside of us, and because he is omniscient, that means he knows everything. Because he's omnipotent, that means he's all-powerful. And because he's omnipresent, that means he's everywhere. He's inside of you praying things that you don't even know. When the Holy Ghost prays through you, he is literally praying things that you're breaking your neck trying to figure out. I dare somebody right now, if you believe you've ever prayed apart an attack or an agenda of hell when you prayed in the Holy Spirit and he had his way, open up your mouth and give God praise right now. If you believe that happened. So he prays through you. And this is the thing that the enemy hates next to salvation. He hates this more than anything. And the reason that he hates the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is because he knows that that is what gives the church real power. He doesn't want you to pray with that kind of power. He doesn't want you to pray for your family with that kind of power. He doesn't want you to pray over your future with that kind of power. And here's what I believe. It's unknown tongues. There are known tongues, but there are unknown tongues. I believe unknown tongues are so significant because I believe not only are they unknown to us, they're unknown to the devil. I believe when we pray in the Holy Spirit, the devil can't understand that language that God has reserved for himself and the church. And all the devil knows is that when we pray in the Holy Spirit, his kingdom is torn down. So when you pray in the Holy Spirit, there are three kinds of tongues. Number one, there's tongues for prayer. Real often, when you pray and you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you're praying God's agenda over your life. But then there's tongues for interpretation. That's someone who has the gift of tongues. There'll be a message in tongues, and then there'll be an interpretation that will come. But then the third thing is there's tongues for worship. So when you've exhausted, Lord, I praise you. Lord, I worship you. Lord, I magnify you. Lord, I glorify you. You are the Ancient of Days. You are wonderful and worthy. There's no one like you, Jesus. I magnify your holy name. Y'all help me. Come on, musicians. I glorify you. I lift you up. You're the captain of the host. You're the way maker. You're the miracle worker. You're the body saver. You're the mind regulator. You're the door opener. You're the way out of no way. You're my daughter's deliverer. You're my son's sanctifier. You're a marriage restorer. I give you praise that you are a redeemer. And as you worship, you use all the English that you know. But then when you run out of English, suddenly the Holy Spirit begins to pray through, worship through you. And who better to magnify the Father than the Holy Spirit? You're saying, glory to God. I bless your name. I magnify you. And then in a moment, the Holy Ghost begins to worship through you, and you say, Shara ba 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 shataya. Somebody who's full of the Holy Ghost right now, just raise up your hands and begin to worship in the Spirit. Come on. Let's season the atmosphere. Let's season the atmosphere. Now, everybody standing. How many of you believe it's the right time for an outpouring? If you believe that, 1, 2, 3, make a little noise. If you believe, help me now. We cast out all discord. If you want your heart to be in unity with what God wants to do, 1, 2, 3, make a little noise right now. Make a little noise. And if you believe you might be in the right place for an outpouring of the Holy Ghost, make a big bunch of noise right now, because that is this house. So some of y'all say, well, Apostle, I was filled, but I want to be refilled, or I haven't been filled. If you haven't spoken tongues and it's been weeks or it's been a season, or you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, if you want a fresh infilling or to be filled, I want you to come right to the front right now. God's about to pour his Spirit out. Come on, give God praise. Move all over this building. Move all over this building. I need you to praise the Lord like you believe it. I need you to pray. If you need a fresh indwelling, come on. If you felt a little bit dry, get up here right now. Come on, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you want this power that I've been talking about. Here they come. Move from across the room. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody give God a shout. The people are about to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, if you want more, get up here right now. If you want to either be filled or refilled, get up here right now. Somebody shout while they come. Come on, somebody shout while they come. Glory to God. If you know that you're fresh with your prayer language, I want you to get up here and stand behind somebody right now. We're gonna have an altar service today. If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, everybody that's filled with the Holy Spirit, just get out, come stand behind somebody. If you can't get right behind somebody, you stand behind somebody, but let's just fill these aisles up right now. Yadadaba, come on out of the, even out of the balcony, y'all come. Yadadaba satarababa kashaya. Come on, I want every worshiper out here. Hallelujah, y'all help me. Yadadadabashiyananaya. Now, I want y'all to watch me. Some of y'all say, well, you know, Apostle, I can believe everything, but this tongue thing, it's a little bit hard to believe. You know, I'm going to speak with other tongues. Well, let me explain it like this. Let me tell you what you already believe. You believe that Jesus was born as a baby. How many of you believe he was born as a baby? But you believe that his mama was a virgin. You believe that she never had relations with a man, yet she got pregnant. Make a noise if you believe that. Okay. You believe that Jesus walked on water. No, I want everybody who believes that Jesus walked on water, including y'all, open up your mouth and give God praise if you believe it. Okay, how many of y'all believe that he called Lazarus out of the grave? Okay, how many of you believe that he died on the cross? How many, if you're washed in his blood, give God a praise right now. Okay, how many of you believe that he was buried in a borrowed tomb? Come on now, you only borrow something when you're going to give it back. That means on the third day he arose. If you believe he's alive right now, give him praise. All right, you believe he's ascended into heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. You've never seen him. You've never seen him face to face, most of you, but yet you believe that he's coming again. I want everybody that believes in the rapture, open up your mouth and holler one time. Tell everybody in your neighborhood, you're already crazy. You're already crazy. Listen, you believe all that? Just go ahead and go all the way in and believe in Shantai. Listen, look at me now, precious. It's all faith. You're going to receive. I'm seeing people already being filled. You're going to receive by faith. Now watch this. How many of you know you were saved by faith? I want anybody who believes that they're saved, just give God some praise right now. Saved by faith. Okay. Pray this prayer after me. Pray, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, if there's any sin in my life, cover it with the blood. Forgive me, restore me, and make me ready. Now that means any sin in your life is now covered by the blood of Jesus, and there's nothing blocking the next thing that God wants to do in your life. But you got to receive it. Watch, precious. By faith. Now, I want all my staff to get up here, all of my pastors. I want you to understand that the Bible said that they spoke. Look at me, everybody. They spoke as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Nobody spoke for them. They spoke it. Sometimes we think, well, I'm going to beam out of my body and I won't even know what's going on. But that's not how it works. If you don't speak it, it won't get spoken. So here's what will happen. As you seek after this, it's a gift. Somebody say it's a gift. If it's a gift, I don't have to qualify for it. I'm qualified because of the blood of Jesus. If it's a gift, I don't have to labor for it. Now what's going to happen as we pray and we release that power in this room. I believe there's going to be words that will come into your mind. It might be one word, it might be two words, it might be three or four words. And it's going to make no sense to your natural man. And your flesh is going to say, I can't say that because that makes no sense. But I'm telling you, in this moment, in this atmosphere, when you hear those words in your mind, you have to say it by faith. Because if you don't say it, it won't get said. Now, how many of you know I'm telling the truth? How many of you have ever prayed in the Holy Spirit and words came to your mind and you just said it by faith? And when you say it by faith, then suddenly you're filled with the Holy Spirit and that prayer language expands and it grows. But if it's one word, you say it. If it's two words, you say it. If it's a bunch of words, you say it by faith. Now watch. Here's what I want you to understand. You got to get comfortable saying something in church. So raise up your hands right now and just begin to worship the Lord. Come on, John. Every worshiper, put the mic in your mouth and begin to worship the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Just to worship the Lord. Open up your mouth. Begin to worship the Lord right now. Everybody in the room, join with me and worship the King. That's it, that's it. Open up your mouth and begin to say hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Just open your mouth and begin to worship the Lord.
We worship.
Come on. If you're not saying something, you need to start saying something right now. If all you say is hallelujah, 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 you got to put your vocal cords into action. Hallelujah, I feel something lifting. I feel something unlocking. Come on. What's about to happen? We're going to release the power of the Holy Spirit in this room. I want you to say this by faith. Say, in the name of Jesus. Shout it out. Say, in the name of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for me. Now give God a shout like you believe it's for you. Come on, billions have received it. It's for you. So, the reason that I have you guys agreeing in faith, many of you standing behind these folks, is because, listen, there's something that happens when you get the whole room united, praying in the Spirit. Because how many of you know, somebody's already being filled. Somebody better shout right now. Somebody better shout right now. Come on. So how many of you know, you don't get a dead body and throw them on top of another dead body, but you get somebody that's got some wind in them. Does anybody have any breath in you today? If you got some breath in you and you got some Holy Ghost power in you, open up your mouth and give God a praise. Hallelujah. So I want everybody to pray this prayer after me. And in the end, we're going to release the Holy Spirit. And people are going to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you ready? Somebody pray this prayer after me. You have to make that flip and say, no more English. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Say those words by faith. I declare that the Holy Spirit is releasing that now. I declare it's releasing it now. So pray this after me. Say, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I desire to be baptized in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. I pray, Lord, that the same power that you poured out in that upper room, pour it out on me right now. Lord, I receive it. I worship you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say, fill me now. Give me the words. I receive it by faith. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody in the room, everybody on this stage, 1, 2, 3, open up your mouth and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost.
Oh, no, 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 one, two, three. I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit if you receive your prayer language today. I want you to pray in the Holy Spirit if you know you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Here we go. We're going to collectively glorify God in our prayer language. Come on. Ready? One, two, three. Everybody on the stage, put the mic in your mouth. Let's pray in the Holy Ghost right now. Fresh touch, raise up your hand right now. You know you did. Look here, scores of people. Somebody give God a radical praise right now. Somebody give God a radical praise. We're going to extend this service and we're going to allow people to experience the power of God. But I need somebody right now who believes that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it changes the game. Can you give God a praise for that? So you who've been filled or refilled or gotten a fresh touch, let me tell you what's going to happen. The enemy will come and say, oh, that was just you. That wasn't real. You know what you need to do? When you get in your car and you crank it up, just open up your mouth and remind the enemy, I'm not leaving this at church, and pray in the Holy Spirit. I believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't enlarge, but I believe He enlarges in us. I believe the more room we make for Him, the more power that we walk in. So I want you that have been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want you to make it a habit of praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, all that were filled and refilled, open up your mouth and give God a shout right now. Come on, let me hear you. And every one of you who received, raise up your hands. Apostle, I was filled or refilled. I want you to hold up your hand right now. Come on. Now somebody ought to give God a crazy praise for it. Hallelujah. So this is not going to be a formal dismissal. But if you want to stay around and pray and seek the Lord, I want you to do it. But raise up your hands. Father, thank you now for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that it's real. Thank you, Lord, that it changes us. Thank you, Lord, now that we have the book of Acts power. We give you praise for it. And Lord, we ask you to move mightily and supernaturally in our church. Have your way and we'll give you glory this week even as we pray. We thank you that we pray the mind and the will of God. Now, let me tell you this. If you perhaps didn't receive the Holy Spirit, number one, you can stay and our altar team will pray with you. But number two, don't act like He can't fill you at the house, or He can't fill you at home. I've had so many people filled in other places. But I declare that just because maybe there were a few of you that didn't receive it today, make a little noise if you still believe it's for everybody and they shall be filled. Don't you get discouraged. I prayed with a woman who's been praying for years, right? Right? And I went over there and I said, we're not going to overthink this, right, Deb? You're about to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Did it happen? Look what the Lord has done. Y'all better shout hallelujah. So I bless you this week to walk in the power of the Holy Ghost. I declare that the Lord is on your side, and I declare as He prays through you that you're going to see manifested victory. If you receive it, give the Lord a shout. I love you. If you're visiting, stop by in the back of Guest Central. We love you. God bless you all.
Thanks for watching the message. I'm sure this spoke to you. Here's what I want you to do. Why don't you subscribe to this YouTube channel? That way, every time there's a new message, you'll get to hear it. Also, many of you have watched this. Some of you watch on a regular basis. Why not take time and sow? You can give at calvaryfl.com. You can give on your phones, and you can be a part of helping us take this message around the world, the message of hope, the message of Jesus Christ. Can't wait to see you back here real soon.